Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 534 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Back to Glenn.
Oh, no.
Off-season mode. He's not the big D's anymore.
No.
And I think we should start the show by saying tragic news hit our community, you know, a couple of days ago when, you know, certainly your hero, Glennie, one of your big figures in your life, Steve Smashmouth.
Yes,
pass away.
The lead singer, of Counting Crows.
Oh, you guys are proper fuckers.
And huge, and he's gone. He's jumped into that big yellow taxi, and off to that forever parking lot in the sky.
He's gone to go play.
The world finally rolled him, and he may not have been the sharpest tool in the shed. But from all reports, he was one of the bigger drinkers in the shed. and his liver couldn't stand up to it.
Wasn't the sharpest tool, but he was the most enlarged liver.
So,
disgraceful.
So I just thought as we start the show, RIP Steve Smashmouth, that was actually his given name. And that was the name he was born with. And, you know, they took the band name to the band from his surname, yes. Smashmouth. And
It was a British name originally. Smashmouth.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he,
Have you had an episode of Nits in your house, or are you joining the army? What's going on?
Oh, mate, I said to you a little while ago, I wasn't long for this world.
So the chemo's kicked in?
Still hasn't killed whatever's in there.
Yeah. I'm not sure chemo's strong enough to kill what's inside you, brother.
I need an exorcism. I've been fucking patchy on top for a good long while, and it's only because I had the help of a very good fucking barber, who was also a very good mate, that he sort of kept it looking half reasonable.
And quite handy with some gorilla grip.
That's it. And
he's picking up. He was very strong. He's like, you pick him up by his ankles and fucking sweep the floor with him.
You do fucking Bob Ross paintings with me, but yeah. So I hadn't been able to see him. He'd been busy for a couple of weeks, and I'd been busy, and my hair was fucking atrocious, and so I made a passing remark just before Father's Day that I was like, oh God, I may as well just shave it, just be done with it. And the kids overheard it. And so on Father's Day, they wanted to shave my head. So there we go.
Good man.
So will they take it back to like a two or something?
Well, whatever the fucking ball trimmer that used to sponsor us is with one of its little guards on it.
We don't mention them because
they're not
yet.
Paying us anymore.
No.
Don't use the code either because they probably still got it active there. And
It fucking hurts, I'll tell you that much. Look, I don't know if Manscaped ever designed it to have 8-year-olds operating it. Probably the region they designed it for meant that they never actually tested that.
I was going to say, if you've used it on the other area, it's probably been blunted by the fucking steel wool in your pits. Fuck me dead.
Yeah, so.
But, you know, the blessing is, though, you've got to wonder, you know, if it was... that bad for the top of your head. Imagine using it on your nuts now.
Yeah, that's it. So, but the kids loved it because I rocked up to the games. We had two games on Saturday, and they all thought because it was the last game of the round heading into finals, so they all thought that I was going super serious. and I'd cut my hair because it was finals time. So
brilliant.
It was good. Yes. Not as exciting as some finals.
Yes. Yes. So, Deez, please, let's take us through the recap.
Oh, motherfucker, you were there. Why don't you take us through the fucking recap?
Look, I mean,
oh my god! After all this fucking
fault about stuff,
after all this fucking bullshit about RLPAs and no post game interviews, we get the chance to have our first post game interview, and Glennie wants to fucking strike.
So we go
fucking hell.
So I went for a trip up the mountain, and it was lovely fucking lovely weather, hot weather up there.
It was
hot conditions for a grand final that starts at 12 PM on the dot. Let me say,
amen.
And so I got up there and caught up with Glennie and some of the boys from the Lions, C-grade men's, and had the for the people on Patreon, I managed to find a vantage point and set up, and I had a very successful live stream for the entirety of the game. It held up beautifully and looked great. And
Tore me interwebs.
Got to see a lot of shit in. Got to see a lot of shit in 4K. For example, the first try scored by the opposition, where the cunt right in front of me fucking dropped it and it got given. I couldn't believe my fucking eyes. Ordinary, but then also there was other things, you know, like other self-inflicted wounds as well. Like, you know, when the gentleman whose name I don't know, inside of Glennie in the second half, when they were down by five tries to four.
I feel like he's been a bit hard.
It was a simple draw and pass to put the diesel in the corner to tie the game up, and instead he's hogged it and fucking gone the dummy and got tapped. So, look.
So you know what? Did you get the penalty that I gave away?
Well, I would have got the whole fucking thing. I mean, I went when I got home, and I had some stuff to do. So, like later that night, I went onto YouTube and because you usually download your videos from there, and it was still processing. So I left it a day or two, and then yesterday I went in and it was all processed. And so I downloaded the lot. So I haven't actually been through the footage again since, but I've downloaded the whole like 44 minutes or whatever it was that I was recording. Plus, I got a bunch of other videos that I did on my phone, like you know, before and after, like when you were warming up and. You know, the tunnel run and...
Yeah, that was fun.
All the rest of it. And some great footage after the game as well. I've basically just got to trim it all up and throw it together. And then I'll go through the game and pull out some of the highlights. And
It was a fast game in the heat. Saints came out. They started pretty strong. I thought we defended reasonably well in the first half. Goofy, who dislocated his shoulder in the semi, and then I'm not sure there was a great deal of strapping involved, but there was a fuckload of endone involved to take the edge off the pain.
Was it a vigorous touch or
no? Did you go dive, in for a try like, dive or? With both arms outstretched and he's hit the deck.
No,
popped it out at the front. Not how I did mine. But played a week later, and was still defending in the middle, basically defending with one arm, scored a try catching the ball with one arm and fucking just fell to the ground the ball, which was fucking amazing. Also popped it out again, when he, was diving as well. So, he said as soon as he sort of dived and started the motion, he immediately regretted it and then realised how much it was going to hurt when he hit the deck. So so that was fun. We also had the fat controller, Walshy, my big wing counterpart. He did his hammy. So, and obviously one of the other boys, Pete, didn't play because he couldn't recover in time from his calf injury from the semi. So we were up against it. And Saints came at us pretty hard. It was fucking hot. It was a fast game. But all in all, I thought we gave a reasonable account of ourselves. Certainly not the best we can play. The last time we played those guys with a full squad, we beat them 11-5 in the regular season. So to go down 7-4 in a grand final was pretty disappointing in that regard. But... still proud of the season and good to be part of the team with a good bunch of guys, and obviously far better touch players than me, which I appreciate being part of the team. And a lot of the boys jumped into the Tour Nation group after semi-final and probably got a fair scope of the whole Big Diesel thing. And I have really tried to keep the podcast world and the real life world separated, because I didn't want to take away from the team or the people that actually do shit, if you know what I mean, in and amongst the group. Anyway, I rocked up Saturday and everyone is calling me Big D's. Naming Mark's basically, you know, giving the rundown of who's playing where, and is, you know, obviously the wingers are the D's, and Walshy.
Yeah, so now he's actually called, yeah, called D's in the... In the...
Right. But, no.
But looking... an observation that I had from, in the first half or coming up to half time, a guy comes up to me and says, introduced himself. His name is Ryan, and he's a listener of the show, Toowoomba local, just came down to watch the Big D's. Because he, but he also had, like, you know, cousins and nieces and stuff that were playing touch as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he knew that he knew where he had to be for the Big D's grand final. and there was a woman in front of him who turns around and goes, "Oh, what are you doing here? You know, you're here to watch, you know, whatever, like, you know, relative, whatever." And he goes, "No, I'm here to watch a guy I listen to on a podcast, Big Diesel." And she turns and he sort of looks over past her down to where, like, your guy's bench was, and which is, like, you know, probably what, 50 meters away from where we were standing, yeah. I reckon. And she sort of sees where he's looking and turns around and looks down and goes, "Oh yeah, I think I know him."
You don't fucking know shit.
What
a fucking groupie.
So it's got to the stage now where Big D's is so famous that, like, people lie about knowing.
Man, you got hoes. You got hoes.
Imagine that. Look, as far as my own game, I made an error defensively, which I didn't shut. Well, I didn't make any decision. I was stuck between two decisions in my tiny brain and therefore made zero. So
I said
shut.
It was like when Lachie Miller was backpedaling, like, deciding to tackle Homoli.
Motherfucker,
that
is offensive. He made a decision to backpedal in order to have the player score the try rather than make a tackle. I did not do that.
Like, yeah, well, you were left. You were fucking Robinson Crusoe out there 2-on-1 against.
Yeah, but the play is to shut. Yeah. I've got to rush up and shut the link off.
Make him make that last pass.
Yeah, that's really
force him to make the last pass.
Yeah.
So in the end, I think what he just did to dummy and just went into the score.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, because I was standing there like a fucking totem pole. And
guthoing it, as they say in the business.
That's a bit rough, mate. That's a bit rough. I'm fucking trying to lick my wounds here, and you're just like pouring salt into them.
Well, like, I think my dumb cunt observations, and never done no shit about touch. My observations were that you caught a cold out there, and almost felt like they were ostracising you and cutting your possession down to a bare minimum, so as to restrict the growth of the legend of Big D's.
It was almost like watching Kalen Ponga play with the Knights, where they were just so fucking jealous of the attention he receives.
It was like watching whichever winger was outside.
Oh, they're
going to
love this bullshit.
It was like watching whichever winger was outside Will Chambers in the 2016 grand final.
Wow.
Which is to say that the victory was there within the grasp, but you just got to let it go. Let the Big D's work.
I also, we basically ran a play. I got the ball on the wing and was touched before scoring. And as I was running back, I've dropped the ball on the ground and was apparently, unbeknownst to me at the time, I was penalised for throwing the ball away. So I've got back to where I thought was the onside position, looked up, and the opposition player is running directly at me because he's been given the mark to tap from, and therefore I'm offside. And one of the boys from the box, Luke, was quite correctly telling me, "You've got to be quicker there. You've got to get back." And he's 100% right. But I have two points to make. One, I only go one pace, right? I can't go any quicker than that. Two, at that point in time, I had absolutely no fucking idea what was going on. I didn't realise that a penalty had been given because I was focused on getting my ass back onside, what I thought was onside. And I look up and some cunt's running directly at me, about to run through me. So that was a little embarrassing. But in the end, we probably deserved to win the game, I thought. I thought we just made a few errors, probably panicked a little bit. And obviously,
like overall,
some injuries
in the general,
didn't help.
In the general play, it looked like they were actually clearly better than you on the day. The areas is how you kept it close was like your goal line defense was fucking ridiculous. Like they would roll down so easily. It felt like they were rolling because they just kept turning inside, they would roll down to the try line easily. But when they got down there, the amount of touches that you guys got on them when they were like fucking a foot from fucking grounding or like fucking, you know, 6 inches from grounding it, like last ditch shit was great.
And I think that's a combination, taking myself out because I wasn't too involved in that side because it didn't really come out my way. But it's probably testament to some of the experience in the side. And then when the younger boys are on the field, they're just that quick because they're so young. They're making the touches, which I thought we were coming back. Well, we come back quite nicely. Obviously, Saints.
Yeah, it was 3-1 at half time, and then you got back to 5-4.
Yeah. Saints started to tire about midway through that second half, and the younger boys, Alex Ryder, Dino, and, you know, some of the other guys there were really starting to make good inroads, and just as well, because some of the older blokes were starting to blow a little bit, and it was fucking hot. So, yeah. As far as my first grand final experience, I didn't hate it.
Fuck yeah.
Not a big fan of the result, but it was good fun and as I said, a good season, and looking forward to shedding somewhere between 15 to 20 kilos before we run out for round one next year.
Nice. That was the most impressive part. Like literally within 10 minutes, I mean, you did have an alcohol in your hand when you said it, like, so you'd had enough time to go and get some booze, but like literally within sort of 10 to 15 minutes after the game, you're like starting to plan out what the preseason looks like and prep for next season.
Yeah.
So
look, the big diesel probably needs to run on some more efficient fuel, if I'm honest.
And look, you know, we know very well, a professional fucking lifelong athlete and sprint coach.
Yep.
So you can help the big D's, add some more fucking kilometers to the top end.
Yes, you can.
So it's all happening. Next season, I expect bigger, better things. And honestly, I'm going to release like a little highlights thing of this grand final, but I feel like there's a bigger arc here. I think next year when you win the grand final,
I like it.
It actually, like, I think it's like, it's a better story. Like, you get all of it in.
I'm on board. The boys are already talking about coming back next year and winning it. So, we're in.
Nice. I see what you're saying about Saints as well. Like you were saying last week.
Mate, you should have stayed for A grade. Because Saints obviously.
Because they weren't in it, right?
They got knocked out last week. First time in 10 years they hadn't played in the grand final. And in the grand finals they did play in, the A ladies, they got beat. I think they might have won one all day, which was probably ours, maybe two. but when in the A ladies final, which was obviously getting towards the end of the day, it's the second last game of the day, so the hill's full, the people on the hill are full of booze, and just feeding it to Saints, feeding it to.
Let's say I got barely any stakes. Watched my first game of touch football, C grade grand final of the Toowoomba men's.
Yeah. I was telling the story about how you pointed out the president of, or, you know, one of the people.
Ryan to come on. He pointed out the president. This woman, this blonde woman who had her hair in a braid, who was apparently the president of the Saints, and she was sitting probably 10 metres in front of me on the hill, and she would jump up and dispute every try you guys scored in the second half. She's jumping up, disputing it and like complaining. Ugh. And so on the live stream, there's got to be like at least five situations where I was going, "Shut the fuck up, Elsa! Sit down, Elsa!" and shit like this. So. I don't even know this bitch. I just knew she was, you know, she was the other one. She was the other side.
So good.
Now look, it wasn't the only unfortunate result on the weekend. We'll get to the footy, obviously, the NRL. But it would be remiss of me not to bring up another situation that I've been made aware of regarding a team by the name, I want to pronounce it, the Sneaker Clits. And does this mean anything to you, Stepdad? Remember earlier in the season, we used to get numerous updates from the GOAT of Supercoach Draft League football.
Oh, no.
About how amazing his team was. And those updates kind of stopped.
It was Clits.
So someone's asked me to ask you how you went in that competition.
Who was the someone?
Let's get the story first. Let's just say it's probably the person that fucking won.
Yeah, that's it. exactly the same as happens in fucking tipping every year. I put fucking laser focus into that thing for, I want to say, up to about Origin. And then I don't think I looked at my team again. So I had a fucking flawless strategy. Like, I was decimating cunts. Like, I was fucking... I decimated opposition teams as if I was a fucking strong religious opinion going through Rwanda in the 80s. That's the fucking level that I left in my wake. And my strategy was every week I would trade in centers and wingers that were playing against the Tigers. So every week, that was dead set my fucking strategy. And I was blitzing fucking everyone. And then in the second half of the year, it also coincided with the fact that the people that I had in my team, once I stopped looking at it, fucking were generational bedshitters. Like, fucking... prolific choke merchants. So my team at the beginning of the year, and cast your mind back to the results in the NRL at that time. Like my spine was Reece Robson after the Cowboys year last year. It was Nico Hines after his Dally M, and it was Latrell Mitchell looking to set the world alight at fullback. So they all had great starts to the year, but yep. Then after Origin they were busted. So. My team got about as much attention as my tipping competitions get, unfortunately. But it's.
Do you actually ever do anything in tipping competitions?
No, because I've learned my lesson.
I don't feel like you ever do.
No,
I don't feel like you ever have.
Which is fucking stupid because we do it every. I should just do it while we're doing it on the show. I should just put the tips in while we're fucking doing them on the show.
Exactly.
But. Yeah, no, there's somebody won the competition that has nothing else going on in his life. So, and he feels like a bit of an outsider everywhere he fucking goes. Like, everywhere he fucking goes. So he's, you know, not from Queensland or New South Wales, not even from the East Coast. You know, so, you know those people that just sort of, like, sit on the fringes on the outskirts? And they like to think that they belong? You know, Broncos supporter. So he's just come over and just unwittingly become the shittest version of himself that he could possibly be. Never stood a chance, really. Congratulations, Toto. You've done well.
Poor Toto. How fucking dare you speak about him like that?
Fucking hell. After everything he has said about the D's.
Salt of the earth.
Oh, human. Fucking hell.
I feel like he's been a reasonable support to the D's, to be
honest. Yeah, I think you've got him mixed up with someone else if you're going to, like, maybe he does the J thing and shits on me in a DM.
This is a Perth person. You know, they'll say anything to feel accepted. Anything to feel accepted.
Let's get to the footy. The final round.
That's not.
Let's stop making Glenn miserable and let's talk about footy.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, though, Thursday night, the Storm 32 defeat the Broncos 22 at Suncorp Stadium. The Storms had a double to Grant Anderson, a double to Suafalogo in his first game, Victorian Academy product and fucking gun, which we'll talk about. Pappy, successful return, he got a try. Remus Smith got a try. Pappy, 4 of 6 conversions. Broncos, they had a double to Jordan Pereira. Flegler with a try. Joshua Rogers, 3 conversions and 2 penalty goals. Hit me, Glennie.
There's no real form line to be drawn for the finals from this game, given both sides rested almost every fucking key player. It was good to see Pappy get through the game and you know, play well. The new young fella, is his preferred position fullback?
Not sure, but did the fucking game change when he came on? Like, that is, and like, look, I hate the Storms as much as the next guy, but I love seeing a kid on debut fucking kill it.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
And my God, the pace of this kid and skill was just fucking incredible. And I mean, obviously a player to look at, you know, over the years to come.
Definitely.
And it's funny with this game, though, because even though like both sides rested tons of players, but I feel like Melbourne still kind of wanted to win it because, you know, they wanted to maximise their chances of remaining in the top four.
Yep.
And the Broncos, at the same time, they rested their players, but they kind of, you know, Kevin Walters had come out in the media talking about, you know, like the minor premiership is so important and, you know,
I feel like we've been the best team.
Let motherfuckers know they're the best and stuff like that. So, like, they wanted the minor premiership as well. So it was kind of weird. Like, there was a game where there were stakes, you know, differing stakes on both sides. And I can only imagine that the Broncos were like, listen, you know, we may get the minor premiership, we may not get the minor premiership, but I'll tell you what we will do. If we lose this game, we avoid the Storms. And what they do to us in finals, unspeakable acts of you know, sexual and physical violence, historically, we'll want to avoid that. So they lose the game. They say, okay, we've you know, we didn't get the minor premiership, or, you know, we don't know yet. Penrith haven't played, but, you know, we may not get it. We haven't sealed it, certainly. But what we have done is we fucking dodged the Storms.
That's it.
Wrong. And then for the whole thing, for both aspects of it to fuck up on them is just tremendous. But yeah, like I said, there's not a lot you can take out of it. I mean, it's a completely different contest coming up because the differences in the sizes is markedly. But I mean, after a rough start, this turned out to be, despite the outs, this actually turned out to be a very entertaining game, though.
Yeah, that's it.
And largely on the back of Falongo's debut and, you know, the excitement that he brought. And then we had a moment there. Who was it with the fucking Broncos? It just went absolutely fucking mental. Was it Piakura?
Yeah.
And it was like got put on the report like 3 times in 5 minutes and got pretty much fucking nothing out of it. I think it was like 3 fines from 3 reports.
Which is an interesting thing. And I wonder if this will be looked at. It might be one of those things they didn't really think they'd ever need to bring out until this moment. Is that all the talk about, you know, previous offences or, you know, similar offences in the rule book by the actual terms or the fine print of how they go in it, it talks about prior games, incidents in prior games. It's not any incident prior to the one that happened.
Yeah.
So you can fucking clothesline 10 people and get 10 fines. You would never want to do it again.
Yeah, as long as you keep him down, like, you know, below a certain charge level.
Yeah.
So you're not like doing something that's going to get you fucking completely robbed, you know, rubbed out or whatever. But yeah, exactly.
So, interesting. The outcome of this game doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It might matter a little bit to Broncos players. It matters fucking tremendously to Broncos fans.
Oh, doesn't it? It's a real thing.
Yeah.
There is a legitimate fucking vibe of terror.
Yeah.
About this time of year, facing the Storm at their own home.
But even Suncorp. Even then, this narrative that after the Storm, like, fist them, that they'll just get bundled out by the informed knights.
Yep.
So, hey, look.
That's some manifest. Weak ass shit.
You fucking manifest, Broncos fans. Look,
as a, at this you know, this season and postseason, I'm just a connoisseur of the chaos, and the most chaotic results are the ones that I get behind.
That's it.
And so this was a great help to that. it's just teed one up for me this week.
I love it.
Right, the mighty Manly Seabs Eagles 54 ended their season on a high, defeating the West Tigers 12 at Brookie. 54 to Manly, tries to double to Kola, double to Saab. Cherry Evans, Bullimore, Homoli, Olkladu, Jakey in his 200th game, Ray Vanger, and the debut try, or first try to Gordon Chan Kum Tong. Cherry 7 of Jordan. 10 conversions to Tigers. Gordy.
You just said Jordan.
Gordon Chan Kum Tong.
You said Jordan. Listen to it back.
I didn't.
I was like, motherfucker, you talking this prick up. You don't even know his name. Can't even pronounce his name.
I don't have to listen to it back, motherfucker. Tigers, their 12 came through tries to Appy and Kapawa. Appy, 2 conversions. I'm glad you fucking justify your existence.
Justify shit. A fucking sorry end to a sorry season.
Orange furry fleshlights.
Yeah.
Presented themselves.
Every bit of it.
At Brookie to be absolutely fucked.
Just
and
found a
boy,
good,
they were fucked.
Found a good use for the cum tongs. Use them to put the fucking Tigers in the bin.
I love the last couple of weeks that the stakes have just kept going up for fucking the Manly players against the shit sides they've been playing. And disrespectful field goals are so fucking 2020. Now we've moved into disrespectful fucking penalty goals, and then we've raised that again. Disrespectful, let's just fucking get over the stripe and wait for the person who we want to score the try and give them the try. Oh, Jakey, it's his 200th. Come on down, have a try. Gordon, you haven't scored a try yet? Come on down. Here, have a try. The West Tigers aren't going to fucking do anything to stop it happening. We're scoring them so easily, we may as well just follow the action, and if you fucking... and if you follow the play, you'll get your try. Which, I mean, I absolutely fucking loved. I loved seeing fucking Gordier's try. I mean, and in a fairly ordinary season, one thing, especially when you're talking about a game against the West Tigers, one thing that the Seagulls have done incredibly well is respect the milestone games for their players. This season, undefeated in milestone games. Players just need to conjure up milestones in every fucking game, and they'd be unbeatable. But look, Kola has, by and large, become the dominant second fullback in the side. It's taken a while, and maybe he could have been helped out with his progress instead of you know, trying to give chances to KO Weeks and things like that through the season. Maybe if Siebes had have just said fuck it and gone with his fourth option, you know, straight away, we'd probably be playing in finals. I mean, he's playing that well. Daly again, fucking incredible performance. Saab is getting better and better every week as well, and year on year. But man, the Tigers, they fucking let one in after like 40 seconds, and this game would have been 80 if Brad Park hadn't have bombed that second try after about 2 or 3 minutes. They would have touched 80 in this game, I reckon, because that was just the combo breaker that the Tigers needed to take enough time off the clock to just fucking slow it down. Look, and stop the stem of
I've
the
I've said it multiple times
briefly.
This season, but what a pack of cunts. Just put the whole fucking thing in the bin. Pour some fucking petrol on it. Light it up. Burn the fucking whole thing to the ground.
Appy and Buller, the story of the season. The only two that could probably keep their heads high. But even Buller got fucking straight burned a couple of times.
Look, it's going to happen. Like, I mean, Saab is, you know, he's played a lot of first grade now, and he's obviously, his speed speaks for itself. I mean, is he the fastest? His Fox is the only one who probably comes close, but...
I wonder. I mean, like, Cole is pretty fast as well, too. I wouldn't want, once again, I mean, like the old schools want, you want the match race.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, especially when the players, if they're not there on grand final day, fucking give us the match race with the guys that are, you know, like Fox and Saab and those guys.
I still think
Josh Folletti with his debut for the Tigers may as well have been fucking Folletti Mateo with the amount of good he was. poor defense. He had one strong run.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I was glad to see him leave the nest and fucking realize he had no wings and just crash fucking headfirst into the ground. And it bought a better place to do it too.
Jeez, you've been a proper cunt. Like, oh, he's shitting.
Leave the nest, get wrecked. I got some for the Fainters in 2 years as well.
So next,
whenever they debut
next year, like obviously the story of the Tigers is that as shit as they are, their brightest lights are now going to other clubs next year.
So well, the I only know their brightest lights, man.
Well, Dano and Brooksy are going.
Dano's
He's been your best player for the last fucking 6 weeks. He's been the only one putting in.
He's been there. I'll give him that. He's been in the first grade lineup.
Now,
that's about as far as I'd go, though.
Buller and Appy have been the shining lights, if we're being real. Yeah. But if you,
all season
you
long.
Keep pushing your fucking
barrel. Concerned, from a Manly point of view,
mm-hmm.
how confident are you about next year? And I ask just from the reason of losing Flano. Because up until now...
Can you tell me
yeah.
what... fucking Flano even did, because you got to remember he was fucking coach. He was signed onto the Dragons halfway through the season. Every fucking day there was an article in the media about who Flano was looking to buy.
Yeah,
he would commentate on Fox on Fox games on the weekend.
I know he's
on the shows through the week. That cunt did nothing, and I think they should have put him on gardening leave halfway through the season, because what the fuck did he actually do?
And, well, there's the question: why didn't they? Why didn't they fucking... Manly, who love gardening leave more than any other club in the fucking competition. Like, they fucking put Trentius and Dez and all of those cunts on it. Just see you later. Right?
Dez, they just fucking cut him out straight away. You can't leave Dez on gardening leave because that fucking...
But, so you got a guy going to another club.
Mm.
Is there anything in the back of your head that's just a little bit fearful... that maybe now you're just getting fucking Siebes unleashed.
Everyone, he's we got... no, I fucking hope we do. I hope we get Siebes unleashed. This year we definitely saw fucking like a sign, even with the injuries they had, which was like, you know, some of the worst in the competition. We still got to see a look of, you know, what the best football looks like, even with the fucking, you know, with like Tommy out and like, you know, a couple of props out. And with Gordon only making his debut in the second last game, fucking can't wait till next year. Yep, it's going to be amazing. And not only that, like the things that they're doing behind the scenes, that, well, you know, if you're doing a season review, fix that fucking pride shit. And like the squad, I mean, having like been to team post game parties and stuff like that in the golden era of like, you know, 2008, 2013. The team this year is so much fucking closer even than that era was. I mean, like, it's fucking unbelievable. The vibes and, like, you know, just how much the team love, you know, being around each other and playing footy together, which is something that was, when you lose 7 in a row at the end of last year and you had the pride thing and, you know, those guys, like, that was fucking, couldn't have been further away from that 12 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone is huge. And then the fact that the players that Siebes has thrown up on the chopping block are all ones that everyone's like, going, I can't fucking... Like, finally, great. And so he's looking like... They clearly know where the gaps in the roster are and they're trying to fill them.
Yep.
And so, yeah. And a lot of the players on the block are like the last ones from the Dez regime that was sort of signed in that last year of Dez.
Lovely.
So I'm loving it. The Roosters, 26, defeated the Rabbitohs, 12, at Acor Stadium. The Roosters, 26, came through tries, 2. Allen, Pauga, Tedesco, Smith, Walker, Swalee, 2 conversions and 1 penalty goal. The Rabbitohs, 12 tries to Cam Murray and Michael Cheekham. Ilias, 2 of 2 conversions. That's my first little chaos piece that I love.
It is a little bit. After looking, you know, 11, 12 weeks in the season, South looked like the only team that was could possibly travel Penrith. The back end of the year, or the last two-thirds of the year...
Not even so much to possibly trouble Penrith, but to quite easily trouble them.
Yeah. You know? No, you're right. People were talking about them, you know, being favourites there at one point because of what, you know, Mitchell was doing and
oh, and top of the table, yeah, in the, like round 11, exactly. The top of the table, yeah.
They faded so badly, they've, you know, this is the final insult, they've made the Roosters a top 8 team.
It's historic. It's a historic slide.
Mm.
No team until this, no team that was leading the competition in round 11 has ever missed the finals.
And interesting to see, like, the media was hugging their nuts so hard and Latrell's nuts so hard at that time, week 11, week 12. And now the fucking absolute, every day there's a new story about the crisis at the Rabbitohs. I'm here for it as a fan of a club that the media goes after reasonably hard. I think Sam Walker is looking very ready to resume his first grade career long term. I suspect he'll have a big off season, which will do him wonders. But he's slipped straight back in there and looks confident. And, you know, whatever Robbo wanted him to work on, I think his ball play, his commitment in defence as well is certainly stepped up a gear from when he was dropped and played, you know, that long stretch in reserve grade. So,
yep.
Big year ahead for him next year.
Well, short stretch in reserve grade. I mean, he fucking did his knee like a couple of games in and was out injured for most of that time.
Yeah, it's just a weird decision to bring him back when they did.
Well, I mean, it makes Robbo look like a man of his word, though, because at the time when he did drop him, he said that, look, you know, this is not a forever thing. Mm. He is still our number one halfback and blah, blah, blah. And at the time, that just came off like... Just bullshit. Yeah, but I guess, you know, ultimately, he brought him back when they needed, you know, when it was the most critical game of the season. Yeah. So if that doesn't send a message to Sam...
He has his trust. Yeah, I get it. But the Rabbitohs have got some soul searching to do, and I would imagine there's going to be some changes made. There's already one article saying Latrell's going to be shifted from fullback, which
they say.
Yeah,
that's the rumor. Like, well, he's going to go into the halves, and they're going to put Jack White in the fullback. That's it. Yeah,
I was just about to say the only thing more cooked than the fucking Rabbits performance this year is fucking Alex McKinnon's football takes. Like, fuck me. I didn't know.
I don't hate the idea the body worked
was to have the blood supply in the fucking bottom half of the body and pumping that to the fucking brain, because that's obviously where he has the fucking problem at the moment. There is not enough nutrients or oxygen getting to that shriveled little fucking pea thing in his head, and he says shit like that. Fucking spare me.
I don't hate the idea. I didn't hear that there was a chance he was going to play in the halves, but I don't hate the idea of him going back to centre.
No, that'd be fine. I'm talking about Whiten at fullback.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it was Latrell to the halves and Whiten to fullback. That's what I heard.
Oh, fucking God. Yeah.
Well, every part of that is cooked.
Yeah, agreed. I didn't hear that specifically. I just heard that Latrell, you know, his time at fullback may be over. So, at the end of the day, if he's fitter and more engaged, I think he's great at fullback.
Yeah.
But it's whether
that's trick, isn't it?
Whether he's willing to get the fitness and the runs under his belt to play the fullback the way it needs to be played.
He needs to find out what's important to him. You know, he's a man who is obviously passionate about his culture. He's passionate about injustices that have been performed upon people of his culture over the years. And it's very fucking easy to tell. When was the last Legends death match that South had? Who was it that died recently?
Sattler.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Listening to the difference in the way that Latrell speaks about that, because when he was speaking about Sattler dying, it wasn't as if he was disinterested, but you could tell he wasn't engaged. And when you've heard him speak on other issues, you know, around the All-Star game and things like that, he is engaged in that issue. And I think he needs to decide if playing footy is what he wants to do to give back to his community. Because there are fucking thousands of other ways. He could go and run football clinics in the bush for the rest of his life and do untold levels of fucking good to youth out there, you know, but he's not that if your heart's not in it, you can still do it, player.
No.
Yep.
Because his heart is always on his sleeve, no matter what he's doing.
That's it.
So, yeah, he needs to. And I think Souths have a role to play in that too. Like, you know,
yeah,
how to get the best out of him as well, and maybe having those hard conversations with him, whether it's, you know, the coach or Crow or fucking whoever needs to have them. But you can't just dance around the importance of Luttrell as a player, you know, in and amongst the playing group, but to the club as a whole. And I think that is critical to where Souths go next year, how they get Luttrell up and, you know, what they do with him. Because I think that goes a long way to getting Cody Walker at his best too.
I think there's a third piece of the puzzle that they need. Not necessarily, because he'll be busted next year. But they need that calming influence. They need the yin to the yang, because Cody Walker and Luttrell are too similar of a personality.
Mm.
And Cam Murray he is the calming guy, but I don't think he has the ability to influence the temperament and mood of the team.
He's the calm guy. He's not the calming guy. That's what they're missing.
Well, Jack White ain't that.
No, Jack White ain't. And I think Ilias is too junior to be able to deal with that sort of thing.
Meditate on the sound a football makes as you kick it 8 rows back from 3 metres before the fucking try line.
Just playing the sound of a football hitting a grandmother in the back of the head in row 12 of the fucking stand behind the goalposts.
The bong. Sound, yeah. Oh,
I love it.
Dolphins 34 defeat the Warriors 10 at Suncorp. The Dolphins 34 tries to Bostock, Osako, Sean O'Sullivan, Katoa, Plath, Kenny Bromwich, Osako 5 of 6 conversions. Defeat the Warriors 10 tries to Freddie Lussick, Marcelo Montoya, and 1 conversion to Adam Pompey. Another one of these games where, particularly on the Warriors side, you know, they rested, you know, the big guns like, you know, the AFBs and Sean Johnson and so forth.
Can I just put out there? That Wayne Bennett has handed the Broncos the Melbourne Storm at Suncorp. Yes. At every opportunity this year, the Dolphins have fucking made the Broncos their sons in more and more glorious fucking ways. And I am absolutely...
Not in the most direct way, as in winning football matches when they're head-to-head against each other.
That's too easy. Fuck that shit.
It's the guerrilla warfare that Wayne's winning on.
Even that, do you remember when they lost that first game?
Yeah.
And the Broncos team that should have beat them by 30 needed a fucking ref's fault intercept.
Yeah.
And ran away like they'd scored the grand final.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, look, I mean, they say, like, I look, Webster's done a great job with the Warriors this year. I just wonder how helpful it is for a side that hasn't really seen a lot of finals in a long time, hasn't had a good, consistent side in a long time. You know, momentum's a big thing, and I think this team particularly would thrive off having a bit more momentum.
Yeah,
and it's just I just wonder if it's a bit of a roadblock that he's thrown in there, or, you know, a bit of a speed bump that actually might, you know, somewhat derail them.
I think they have to earn the right to. The playing group has to earn the right to show that they're capable of being rested and coming out in a critical game and performing. As you say, it's early days for this squad under Webster to be at that point. I'll be interested to see, you know, how the Warriors start. I think the first 15 minutes in week one of the finals is going to be critical.
Because the Warriors haven't been good for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And in that same period of time, they haven't played like a top 8 side.
No.
So I think they're one of the fakest teams. They're certainly the fakest team in the top 4. And it wouldn't surprise me to see them go out in straight sets. I mean, we've seen what they are at their best.
Yeah.
And they play, you know, exciting brand of football that I think will work against a lot of sides that are in the top 8. But I haven't seen them produce any of that for a long time now.
I'm more concerned. And then you go and rest some players. Yeah. When they were staking their claim on this competition, they were all of a sudden these New Zealand Warriors that could hold you out for 3 sets. They could sit there and let you fucking camp and still look you in the eye. and then when you fucked up, slap each other on the back and roll downfield 70 metres in one set.
Yep.
That and that's not who that been. You're exactly right.
But for the Dolphins, so, I think, you know, it was a nice finish to, yep, to a, you know, as we've said a few times over the last couple of weeks, you know, pretty solid first campaign. It looked like it was going to be a fairy tale, you know, halfway through the season or whatever, and it hasn't eventuated to that, which is understandable. Depth has been a factor for them, but
incredible injury toll for like a newly
yeah
constructed side to have to endure.
Yeah, it was rough,
but you know, nice finish in front of their, you know, home fans, and plenty to build on for 2024 and beyond.
The Hammer establishing himself firmly as their marquee player. Do you remember at the beginning of the year, the conversation was, you know, whose name's going to be on all the jerseys that the kids want to buy?
Yep.
And then after round one, that guy. Yep, cool. They're done.
Yeah, and he's done nothing but solidify that over the course of the season. So.
Yeah, and the incredible resurrection of Jermaine Osako as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was the thing I saw the other day? He's the first player since Meninga to lead both goals and tries.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
It's nuts.
Or both points and tries. There was something, you know, that, which, you know, those records don't ever fucking mean anything in rugby league, but just because some positions score more than others do.
The fact that he couldn't get a run at the Titans and then he's done this, fucking...
Yeah, but I mean, he was also terrible when he did get his chances.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, he's
maybe
like,
to be out the environment and Wayne and, yeah.
Obviously, he's one of these guys that Wayne can get through to.
Yeah.
And give him whatever he needs to perform at his best and you know, see it happen.
I think this is a nice out for Wayne as well. Like, this has done nothing to hurt his legacy, put it that way.
No. All right, moving on to one of the consequential games of the round. The Panthers 44 defeat the Cowboys 12 at Bluebet Stadium. Panthers side double to Taruva, double to To'o. Crichton, Cleary, Martin and Summerton tries. Cleary 6 conversions from 8 attempts. The Cowboys 12 tries to Neem and Labert. Drink water 2 of 2 conversions. Cowboys, all to play for.
Turned up their toes.
And they did not fucking show up. I mean, there was a little brief moment there midway through the second half, I think, where they sort of bridged the gap a little bit.
Made it a bit respectable,
but you know, even then, you know, they dropped off again, and the Panthers pulled away and consigned them to the dustbin of the season, where they belong after such a poor fucking start.
Yeah.
I mean, they had an incredible run through the middle there where they were the best team in the comp for a while for the 6, 7, 8 games in a row there in terms of defense and attack and you know, they strung a big streak together. But, man, they threw it away and dropped off again real quick when it counted after Origin.
I think if you're reviewing your season as the Cowboys, whilst you're obviously not happy with it, and obviously especially compared to last season, it's a disappointment. You can hold on to those 6, 7 games. You can look at those and say, well, it's not gone. We haven't lost it. That's the form that got us into the finals last year. So it's still there. We just need to work out why we couldn't access it when we needed to. Was it the players thought they were too good? Was there something in the coach or whatever it was? But at least as a group, they can sit together and rely on those to say, no, it's still in us.
I think the important thing to note here is that they needed this win to get them to make the finals, but if they hadn't have got absolutely fucking blasted out by the Tigers earlier in the season, they would have been in the finals.
Mm. Yeah, that's it.
Despite this. So, directly, given the massive impact in both differential morale and just a good old-fashioned ass-whipping, the West Tigers did this. They always beat the Cowboys.
We do
this
always.
Time did it.
Sometimes...
This time you beat...
Sometimes
you beat them
we're a little
into,
bit
you
more
beat
subtle
their entire
about
season to death.
We're a little bit more subtle about season. It, and people misunderstand when I say we always beat the Cowboys. They think that it means that we always beat them when we play them, but sometimes it means you've got to dig a little deeper.
It's not like some Kaiser Soze shit.
Exactly.
the Tigers are down the bottom of the table, walking
stupid
away.
Stupid Cowboys fans just misunderstood the whole thing. Fucking idiots. And here we are. The Tigers win again. You're welcome.
Has anyone say anything else about this?
Fucking idiot Cowboys fans. No, that's. I think you summed up my point exactly. They had everything to play for, the Cowboys, and they turned up their toes, which is really the story of their season. They had a lot to play for the first time they played the Tigers and got absolutely fucking belted, and then, you know, feel like they redeemed themselves by beating the fucking back-to-back wooden spooners. Big deal, cunts.
The thing that's going to be the hardest thing for the Cowboys to take, I think, after this game. I mean, like, you know, win or lose aside, and the fact that they could have won and got into the finals, but just the fact that they just didn't fucking show up.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like they were just like, you know, it was a tough game and they were beaten by the better side or whatever. They just didn't even fucking show up, and they were out of the game before they even, you know, opened up.
Yep.
That's probably going to be the most disappointing thing, and it's a long off season to fucking have to take that sort of shit.
I don't know if it sounds like I'm all fucking bleeding hearts here over the Cowboys, but still not a fucking great thing. You need to save your season by winning one game, and you go down against the defending premiers that need to win this game to get the minor premiership again as well.
Mm.
So, not like they had it easy.
No, but I mean, they could have tried.
I agree what you're saying. Fuck the Cowboys. Oh, yeah.
The Knights 32 defeat the Dragons 12. Net Strata Jubilee. The Knights tries to double to Dominic Young. Tries to Saifidi, Jacob Tuala, Marzu, and New Brown. Miller, 3 of 5 conversions. Tyson Gamble, 1 penalty goal. The Dragons tries to Hunt and Rob Lower. Zach Lomax, 2 conversions.
Lone hand.
Makes me fucking sad that the Knights are going to lose Dom Young so early.
Yeah.
Oh. They brought it on themselves.
Yeah.
Jeez, you're a prick.
What? They could have signed him. I just didn't want to pay the $550,000 that he was asking. Also, remember, he was dropped to reserve grade in the first sort of month or 6 weeks of the competition.
Yes, that is true.
And so...
Fucking remarkable minutes at the back end of the game, though. Holy fuck, Jesus. Ben Hunt played a lone hand for the Dragons, not even close to being enough, and the Knights continued to sing along nicely. And you'd have to say, I know we'll get to the previews, but almost guaranteed a spot in week 2 of the finals. Just, yeah.
Don't anger the footy gods by making these outlandish fucking predictions, Glenn.
Oh, I don't really give a fuck. My team is probably already in Bali, so.
Yeah.
And I hope every last one of them gets fucking Bali belly.
Jesus.
Every one of them.
I hope every last one of them, except for Appy, has their boogie board packed by someone they don't know.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about this game.
No,
I'll be quite honest.
I think Dom Young's tries were fucking spectacular at the tail end of the game.
The thing about that, Dom, like, there was a lot of talk about that one. The one everyone knows, the try, you know, you're talking about with the Dom Young, the sort of cartwheel one.
Mm.
The thing is, though, the put down and everything, he put the ball down straight away in almost a fairly regulation fashion, and then cartwheel happened after it was all done. You know what I mean? It was like this spectacular, like, you know, icing on top of it.
I'm just going to say, if on Saturday, to tie the game up at 5-all,
yes,
if I had to put the ball down and then someone collided with me and caused me to do a fucking somersault, yes, obviously the game would have been stopped as I would have been carted off to hospital in an ambulance, or probably in the chopper.
And that would have been your shoulder, depending on
how... I would have had to go to Brisbane, because such would have been my injuries. But if you were to
sit there... Silver linings, you would have been playing the All Abilities Grand Final next year.
That's fair. But if you would sit there and shit on my effort, much as you have Dom Young's, I'd be mortified. I didn't
shit on anything.
Mortified.
All I'm saying is, it was overrated. That's all I'm saying. It was great, and it looked spectacular.
It full speed.
If you're like a dog watching fireworks, it's spectacular in that respect. I'm saying it was fairly regulation with some fucking...
You're on one tonight.
Pirouettes
you're
at the end of it.
You're in one of your moods. You didn't put your cream on.
Anyway, the Titans 34 defeat the Bulldogs 30 at Hope Solo Coliseum. The Titans hat trick to Kieran Foran in his first one in first grade, I believe. Brimson, Leeming, and Khan Pereira with tries. Shoop with 5 of 6 conversions. The Dogs 30, a hat trick to Josh Addo-Carr. Morin and Wilson with tries. Birdo, 5 of 5 conversions.
Foran, as you say, with pretty much a masterclass of vintage running 5'8 football. Just
he filmed an absolute sex tape on them.
He really did.
Which is well within his rights to do, as it is within your rights outside of the football field, as he found out recently.
Exactly, exactly. That's the game review. Kieran Foran made his second fuck tape of 2023. They got watched by multiple people.
Wowzers.
Look, I tell you, Matt Burton looks like the unhappiest person in rugby league right now.
Yeah.
That poor guy. For someone who only had a new kid like 2 weeks ago, he should be experiencing the fucking joyness of life right now. Man. And he looks fucking miserable because of this cunt team that he has to play for. The amount of money he's on, I've got an idea. This game cares so much about mental health of players. How's this for fucking mental health idea? Josh Schuster, Matt Burton, straight swap. Who says no?
Anyone that understands how mental health works.
Including Matt Burton.
Getting Matt Burton around fucking little Gordy, having a great old time in the centres. No responsibility. All he's got to do is fucking throw up his fucking Birdo bomb every now and then.
You know what this
or pass
is?
It to fucking Garrick. Or catch a pass and score from Tommy.
This is fucking...
Changed his life.
This is Dragons levels of thinking your club matters. That's what this is.
Who said anything about anything mattering? I am saying...
Why would he want to go to Manly?
I'm talking about a straight player swap on fucking...
But how would that improve his mental
health? Because they're both on similar
money.
Because he'll be a lot happier there.
No, he'd be a lot happier playing for Blacktown because he's not going to be the start over Brooksy.
You just uttering that is the same as the Dragons giving their fucking best and fairest to rape him.
Glennie, he's not going to start... He's not going to start over... He's not going to start over fucking Brooksy. He's going into the centres. He's starting over Brad Parker. Easy decision. Wow. He's going to start in fucking left centre.
Brad, we'd like to apologise for your mental health because you obviously led
where he
this
plays.
This.
Brad Parker, he'll have fun down at Blacktown. He's fucking great down there. He'll be there with fucking some
so
of
now,
other mates
in the
that aren't good
in
enough.
The interest of fucking mental health, you're sending people to hang out with Aaron Woods. Oh, fucking please,
no,
go
Woodsy's,
on.
Woodsy's going to be hanging out with fucking Hooper and fucking Warren Vossy and all those cunts on fucking doing commentary. Woodsy's done a great job of like laying the benchmark for his media career over the course of this year on telly and stuff, and so he's done the hard yards to sort of get his foot in the door there, and that's where you'll see Woodsy.
Nice.
Good. I hope he replaces Blocker.
Oh, but I mean, like, what about fucking Hook? While we're on the subject of these cunts.
Oh, fucking hell!
If you could put Hook's. Yeah, because what the things that Hook says aren't stupid. It's just that they're delivered by the most boring monotone fucking voice you've ever seen in your life. So if you could somehow AI together, like you sit Hook and Blocker down, and you somehow AI together the stuff that Hook's saying, but coming out of like the clueless fucking puppy dumb
enthusiasm of Blocker.
Yeah, are we? Are we right here and now rebooting the Face Off franchise? But instead of Travolta and Cage,
it's Hook and Blocker. Roach and Griffin.
Because
it's cunt off.
You get some reasonable footy now, some analysis coming out of Hook. And out of Blocker, you get, me think amazing.
I will say one of the comments in the thread for the C grade touch, they were saying get Blocker up to do commentary, and they said he'll call him the big petrol. I fucking love it. So fucking true. So true.
The big Tesla. back on this game, though, obviously this game no one cared about. It's great to see Foz get the hat trick. The Bulldogs, I don't know. They're a team, they're not in as much like internal distress as Souths are at the moment, I feel. But there's definitely problems there, and they've got a long off season where disgruntled players can.
Yeah, there's some rumblings the now about Seraldo as well, which
is ridiculous. I mean, we didn't really speak about that situation, did we? With the wrestle off and everything.
No.
Like honestly, I believe that it was Jackson Topine was the player.
Yep.
And it happened like 5 weeks ago or something. But he turns up the training late. He disputes that. But, you know, be that as it may. And then as punishment, he has to do essentially a shark bait or shark tank, as we used to call it in jiu-jitsu, where it's just like one person is in the middle and you just got to sequentially roll against everybody individually. And with the idea being you're under fatigue and it's fucking hard because a fresh person's coming in every time. Like, you know, you'd get rid of one guy, a fresh person's coming in, and you know what it is? It's just fucking tiring.
Yeah.
It's not this giant fucking, oh my God, I've got to get out of this fucking team bullying shit.
Mm.
It's ridiculous. And if that's the sort of stuff Serrano's doing, like, and he said in his press conference, I think it was after the Manly game 2 weeks ago, he said, listen, there's, you know, we identify there are players by their performances that aren't doing what it takes to be first grade footballers. And we've got kids in flag that are fucking starving to be first grade footballers.
Yeah.
And they're going to get, you know, we're going to give those people the chance.
Oh, but go back though, because I think I remember the quote you're referring to, and it was fucking beautiful the way he did it.
Yeah.
It was, he said that, you know, and this paraphrasing again, but the gist was, it wasn't so much we've got kids gagging for an opportunity. It was, we've got first graders where this is their job.
Yeah.
And they don't want to put in this work and this effort, and they say it's too much. But these kids get up and do weights at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yes.
Then go to a 9-to-5 job, then come back for training at 5:30 every night of the week. That's a heavy workload. What we do isn't a heavy workload.
That was in response to media reports that some players were spewing that they were almost like they were almost training or had to be around at the club kind of business hours.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, I think there's some absolute mental midgets. And like people who are like uncommitted and mentally weak in a footballing sense, not prepared to pay the price and sacrifice and do what it takes to be an elite professional footballer.
Yep.
And do what it takes to make their club an elite, you know, performing club. And I mean, you know, Seraldo, I actually have to backtrack on him a little bit because I think he's not the Trent that I've sort of said he was. He's just dealing with, I mean, and Trent, you know, is partially responsible for building this fucking environment, but he's just dealing with an unprofessional club that's had it too fucking easy or too loosey-goosey for too long, and now he's coming in there trying to, you know, develop some form of fucking structure and discipline and sacrifice and find the players who are willing and, you know, able to do that to create, like, a successful culture at the club. And fuck me, he's got a lot of work to do. Based on this shit.
What? Man, we've had this conversation so many fucking times over the years that the big thing that's missing for me in a lot of these clubs is professionalism. And it's down to, like, if you look at elite sports people in other codes, especially in other countries, it's frowned upon to drink during the season. Do whatever the fuck you want in your off season. Right? Yep. But during the season, everyone's on a nutrition plan. Everyone's on a training and rehab regime. The fucking, that thing you're used to seeing now where there's footy players, they're injured and they're in the pub drinking.
Yeah.
Like it's fucking basic knowledge now that alcohol consumption stops the body's recovery process or hinders the body's recovery process.
Yeah, inhibits, yeah.
Yeah? So if you're hurt and I see you out there doing that, then to me that says you're not willing to do whatever it takes to get back on the field with us.
Yep.
You know, and the Bulldogs just fucking reek of that.
Yep. And I expect that there'll be, you know, the fallout hasn't fully been, you know, finalised or felt yet. But I would assume that there are going to be players, you know, potentially half a dozen players that mysteriously, you know, find themselves going to England or whatever. Final game, the Sharks 24 defeat the Raiders 6. at Reclaim Australia Stadium. The Sharks 24 tries to Ramian, Trindle, Williams, Mulitalo and Katoa. Trindle 2 of 5 conversions. The Raiders 6 try to Jordan Rapana, conversion to Jamal Fogarty. And this was an interesting game that the scoreline didn't, you know, really, I think, paint the entire picture. The Raiders, actually, they had a plan, and their plan was quite good and actually was working for them for quite a long way through this game. Mm. Rapana was on one in his milestone game and was, you know, the best player on the field for, you know, a large part of it. And then the Sharks finally just had gotten themselves on top, probably for the first time in the game, with that try to Jack Williams. Followed up then with the Raiders going on a long break, almost scored a try, probably should have scored a try, but resulted in the tackle from, what's his face? Sebastian Chris.
Yes.
Dumping, he dumped Tracy on his head, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And sent off. And at that point, obviously, in what had been a really kind of intense, the most finals-ish kind of game, I think, that we'd seen on the in the weekend, then that was the end of that, obviously. And, I mean, the Sharks fairly quickly, you know, went bang, like, on the next set or the set after. And at that point, it was, you know, beyond the Raiders, and Sharkies ran away with it.
Yeah. Again, you know, for the Sharks to finish the season like that, exercises a lot of fucking demons of poor performances through the years. You can disassociate from a lot of shit games with a finish to the season like that.
Just that little jolt of momentum will do them the world of good. Yeah. Just for the Raiders, though, like, I know the send-off didn't help, but, you know, imagine losing like this to another top eight side and then getting to play finals a week later.
Especially the top eight side that couldn't beat any other side in the top eight except you.
And so I think the Raiders are like probably the worst fucking top eight side in history if you look at the straight differential and things.
Yeah, that Raiders team
would
still beat the 2005 West Tigers.
I was going to be more generous and say, you know, maybe like the Titans when they got into the finals, you know, 2021 or whatever it was. Yeah, that maybe they beat them. Maybe the Roosters from that same year.
Absolute fucking tripe.
How do they not fucking win? Jack Whiten runs a train on them.
They don't get the ball.
How does Scott Prince tackle Papali'i? How? Explain the physics to me, Glenn.
He'd break his fucking leg again. Like a tenth time.
More entertaining than rubbish. Fucking time to...
all that aside, I actually thought the Canberra Raiders for, like, you know, the first sort of 40 minutes or more of the game were actually pretty good. Better than I expected them to be. And so who knows? Maybe they might be able to last half a game in the finals as well before Rapana gets finally sent off. I mean, wouldn't that be the killer if they were in the game well and truly in the finals, and then Rapana, instead of getting fined or something, or fucking wrapped on the wrist like he always has, he actually gets sent this time. I don't know, that's it, that kills him.
Yeah.
But as a chaos connoisseur, I want the camera to be right in their game and lose it at the death off a blatant something. I don't know, it can be anything. I don't give a fuck. As long as it's wrong and the referee doesn't call it. because for me, you go, listen, you know, when it comes to a Canberra game, losing for them is great, but also losing, but you need to have Ricky getting really fucking mad about it. so that's the pinnacle. That's what you need for Canberra. But yeah, that's the regular season.
That is the regular season.
Is there any actual news to speak of? I haven't really been paying attention to the news.
Not really.
We kind of touched on a few things as we were talking about the game, so we can just go straight to the finals if you want.
Certainly can, unless you want to do socials roundups.
Oh, yes. No, I did forget about that. Yeah, go for it.
It's, and look, most of our socials rounds up this week concentrated on the big Ds. and I said this to Glennie before. If everyone hasn't read it, get into the fucking Twill Nation Facebook group and just read the Manly vs Tigers game thread, that was one of the fucking greatest pieces of social media.
It was also like all just in the lead up to it as well. I mean, there was a number of threads, you know, a number of things. You know, people talking about the Big D's and everything. It was just, it was some good vibes.
I'd say interesting. Someone's put up, Josh has put up, someone's done up a ladder since 2020.
No, that came out today in the socials. I saw that somewhere else. I saw it on Twitter at some point.
So, Manly are ninth. Well done. So you're the ninth best team. The Tigers aren't last.
2021's doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Not last, Glennie. And one of the reasons...
How can they not be fucking last when they've been last two of the 4 years that you're talking about?
So it's game. It's played, wins, losses. It's as if the three seasons were one season. So...
Well, four seasons, is it? Counting?
So they've won two wooden spoons. So it's not like you get, you know, 1 point for the spoon and 2 points for
second. No. But I mean, they still like... But their win-loss record in those years is obviously the worst.
So the Dogs... Yeah. The Dolphins... They couldn't have won any games. They weren't there.
Yeah.
But the Dogs played 92 games to win 20 and lose 72. Whereas the Tigers played 92 games to win 23 and lose 69.
Quality effort.
Yeah, there you go. Then the Dragons, then the Titans, then the Warriors. Warriors and Broncos, 11th and 12th, both playing finals this year. Knights are 8th, which if you think about it, they've been there or thereabouts. The Raiders are 7th.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they've had... This was kind of like their window period. We're coming to the end of that now.
Yep. The Eels, obviously, their window period was up until the semi-finals last year. And the top four, Penrith, Melbourne, Rabbits and Roosters. There you go. How interesting. Not really.
I mean, how arbitrary.
We all know.
What?
Where's the socials? There's fucking Mitch McConnell, Smash Mouth's dead. Big D's. There we go. Graham, Parramatta and South Sydney. It was glorious. Some clubs with scum fans who got what they deserved. Liam, the Riff showed a winner's mentality by fielding their top side for the minor premiership. Broncos will regret not doing it for once they get knocked out in straight sets. Daniel, Dom Young's athletic ability is unmatched in the NRL and will be sorely missed by our club next year.
Should have paid him and played him in first grade.
That's it.
Did it yourself.
Michael, he said the Raiders are the worst top eight side I've seen in a decade. Small market mentality where they're just happy to make the eight, paired with a delusional and nufty fan base equals a franchise ready to decline to the wilderness. Zach, surely the Broncos hating cunt gives the Broncos credit. Which one of us? You've used the singular.
Credit for what? You tried to duck the storm in round one of the finals, fucked up and cost yourself both the minor premiership and your chance to duck the storm.
In the same week where your coach went out and said that you're the best team of the year because you've won the minor premiership.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Straight sets.
Straight sets, best scenario for rugby
straight
league.
Straight sets. Hammers. Well, there we go. Brisbane playing games, trying to dodge Melbourne in round one, only to lose the minor premiership and still cop Melbourne in round one is massive Kev areas.
Yep.
Josh, any team that was able to make it into and stay in the top of that top eight should absolutely call this season a success. It's been such a tight comp with great battles, especially in the 5 to 12 range, that saw rounds where points differentials made a big difference. Certainly fuck did. Timmy McIntyre said Dolphins definitely impressed, Eels most disappointing. There you go. Our good mate One-Eyed Tiger. He's just like a good tiger. He fucking lurks in the background. We know he's always there. And then he comes out with some of this fucking glorious shit. The final regular season round of the year was full of twill agendas and storylines. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Hashtag Tigers in decline, always and forever. South obliging everyone to kick themselves out of the finals. A jam roll celebration from the Northern Peninsula. See, here's the thing about Penrith winning the minor premiership. The worst club and worst fan base in the entire league, suffering another deserved L. The Titans being undefeated, asterisk, at Hope Solo Coliseum. The Fade is fading, confirming their status of the fakest team to ever qualify for the finals. Para just doesn't matter, because they're a team of nuthos on a bye in the final round, living in a house of broken dreams with all the windows shut. Oh, we didn't even touch on that. How fucking glorious was that? It's the last round of the year, and they were just... There was no Parramatta talk. Because even if other teams won or lost, they didn't even get mentioned.
Yeah, and the thing about that is you know, it's going to be everyone's turn at some point, because it's like the team that misses Magic Round. What the NRL needs to do is actually apply some stakes to it. Like, if you get the spoon, you miss Magic Round, or if you blah, blah, you know, if something, you know,
yeah,
some sort of thing. Like, if you don't do this, then you're in the running to miss that, which would be great. But I'm not sure how they'll do it. But or if it's going to be like, because they, well, it's in Brisbane, so, I mean, let's face it, the Broncos are never going to miss Magic Round.
Yeah.
But and that probably, by extension, Titans and Dolphins as well, I would say.
Yep.
But they should apply some sort of methodology around how they select.
Yeah.
Liam. Okay.
Liam, sorry, you said the Father's Day present was tickets to the Dolphins' last game. Great atmosphere, great crowd. Hope we get a Waratahs versus Broncos final. And then Josh finished off, he said, real talk, the Cowboys winning the premiership over the Broncos was the best thing that could have happened for the North Queensland region. If the Waratahs get to the final and win, it'd be fantastic for New Zealand Rugby League. That's it.
The Waratahs?
Waz, sorry. Warriors. Oh,
that Waz shit. Fucking that Waz. That Waz shit alone is reason for them to go straight sets too, frankly. One of the worst fucking things ever. Ugh. And I believe I said it on... I think I said it in the group under another thread.
I tell you, I don't know, man. I've tried...
That Waz shit. That Waz shit is like the sporting equivalent of fucking single mothers trying to call Father's Day Special Person's Day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say using the term mama bear.
Or hashtag...
Well, I thought you were just
going to
put a full stop after single mothers. I was like, wow, that is fucking brutal.
Can I tell you? Like, it never ceases...
They got Mother's Day. Glennie,
the stereotypes.
Father's Day as well.
The stereotypes. I was with my boy. Em's kids were with their dad, obviously, on Father's Day, because it's the right thing to do. And we'd been out and had a lovely breakfast, and we needed to pick up some stuff at Rebel on the way.
Right.
And so I'm in Rebel. It's Sunday morning, Father's Day. Everyone's fucking happy. And then... In the store, there's a bunch of people wearing fucking Warriors jerseys and this. And we're going past them, attempting, and I'm like, you know, you guys, you know, get the Broncos for us in the finals. Yeah, we... Da-da-da. And they, oh, yeah, da-da. And then we come across a bloke, he would have been 60, 65, wearing a Panthers hat.
Okay.
Right? And so I've just, you know, gone past him. I've gone, mate, you reckon the three-peat's up? I reckon we can do it. And he sort of shakes his head. And I go, who's going to stop us? And he looks at me and he goes, oh, the Broncos? And I sort of look at his hat. And he points to the hat and he goes, this is my son's hat, not mine. I'm not wearing it by choice.
Well, you nowhere, are. You put it on your fucking head, you moron.
Well, and then that's when you saw the son with the gun fucking in the small of his back.
No, this is the greatest bit. My kids looked up at him and gone, you're inside then. Take it off. And he just looked at him and gone. I was like, yeah, man, Broncos fans. So, stereotypes are everywhere. Stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason.
That's it.
Fuck.
Right, you done with your socials?
Let's go.
Okay, second qualifying final. First up, Friday night from Suncorp Stadium. The Brisbane Broncos take on the Melbourne Storm. The aforementioned clash that we mentioned. Okay, so obviously a lot of changes in both sides because they rested so many players, but the big ins for the Broncos: Reece Walsh, Tony Staggs, Herbie Farmworth, Selwyn Cobbo, Ezra Mamm, Adam Reynolds, Billy Walters, he's a big in, Glennie, Payne Haas, Kirk Catewell, Pat Carrigan, Kobe Hetherington, and the Storms. Their ins: Meany, Warbrick, Seve, Coates, Munster, Jerome Hughes, Tui Kamakamika, Harry Grant, Christian Welch, Trent Loiero, Eliasa Katoa, Tom Eisenhuth, Nelson Safa Solomona. Pappy goes back to the bench, and Bronson Garlick goes from hooker to the bench. They really did rest a lot of fucking players last week. I just realised as I say it for half an hour. All right. How much the Storm's going to win by? And just increase giving the Brisbane fans maximum pain.
I don't think they'll blow them out. I think it's 1-12, but I do think Melbourne will win. They're a team that plays, you know, can still bring their best performance away from home. And I think mentally, I think nerves might get Brisbane in the opening exchanges and open the door just a tad for Melbourne to get control. And
yeah,
I think they'll be good enough to keep the Broncos at bay.
That is the operative word, control. If Melbourne are going to actually roll Brisbane, then their big guns need to do it in a controlled fashion. And I'm talking about Munster. I'm talking about fucking Big Nelson. Those guys that tread that fine line between, you know, exposing some errors and fucking things up royally need to really get in and do their job properly. I'm with you, Glennie. I think first dance around for most of these kids for Brisbane.
Mm.
The risk is that the situation gets to them.
I just think Ezra Mann, Reece Walsh, you know, Staggs, you know, key guys. Billy Walters is as mentally fragile as you're going to find. Key guys in a big game against experienced and battle-hardened opposition. I just think the first 20 minutes for Brisbane is going to be critical, but if they start slowly, then, you know, the crowd's going to have to get into the game early for Brisbane to have any chance of getting control in that opening 20 minutes, but I think Melbourne will win.
Yep.
I agree. And also, I hope. The first qualifying final, first v fourth, Panthers taking the Warriors, Bluebet Stadium, Panthers side. Summerton's out, Garner's out, Mitch Kenny comes back in and along with Sorensen. The Warriors, okay, once again, big rest for them. They're bringing back in Nickel Klukstad, DWZ, Sean Johnson, AFB, Wade Egan, Jackson Ford, Tohu Harris, and Jazz Tavanga. Josh Curran moves from second row to bench. And Dylan Walker moves to the bench from lock. Can you take this one, Stepdad?
It's almost a reverse of the Broncos. I think the potential benefit here to the Warriors is the occasion. These guys have been riding some pretty fucking hefty emotion for a lot of this season, and especially drawing on what they went through when they were here for COVID and what that did to them and allowed them to do as a team. I think they're really going to get in and just knuckle down, you know. And if Penrith are going to come in and expect to just blow them off the park early, they might have another thing coming. And that's the risk of Penrith is getting there and not underestimating, but I guess maybe overestimating their own chances in the opening exchanges. They need to understand that the only times they've come off the boil this year was when they went away from that absolute fucking certainty that they were a better team over 80 minutes and tried to rush things and tried to get things without earning them. It never goes well. It leads to errors. And you can't put teams in a position where you're gifting them any sort of field position, especially in finals football. I still expect Penrith to win fairly handsomely, but they're going to need to be fucking switched on all the way.
Yeah, it's up to the Warriors to surprise me. I don't think they've got anything for the Panthers this week.
I think the fairy tale, to be honest. The fairy tale fucking takes a fair old beating in this game, and Brisbane will become Brisbane. Penrith will become Penrith. You know, we're into the championship rounds of the premiership now, and it's just a switch for them. And I think they'll be at their absolute best, and they're at home. The crowd will pick them up from minute one, and they'll be too good, way too good.
The second elimination final, 6v7, Sharks versus Roosters. This one's happening at the zero capacity Reclaim Australia Coliseum. And boy, don't the fucking Roosters fans have the shits about that. Maybe that's a discussion we can have while we're talking about this game.
Oh, fuck it.
The home game policy.
Maybe win more games.
Hey, look, you're singing straight out of my fucking, out of my songbook. The Sharks, unchanged from last week's winning lineup. The Roosters, Corey Allen is out. Joey Manu returns, which is a big in, obviously. Egan Butcher moves to the bench. Fletcher Baker moves to the starting side. Tough one, this one.
I favour the Sharks at home.
Yeah.
I think the Roosters are probably... getting towards the tail end of a very successful period in their history over the last, probably 7 or 8 years. And they're going to have to lift to a level that they haven't really shown consistently that they can get to this year. They may pull a performance... from memory and surprise me, but I think the Sharks at home, just that, as I said earlier, just that little jolt of momentum to win that game against Canberra, and Nico finding that bit of form. It's finals time now, they'll knuckle down and they'll be that gritty team, and I think they'll just hang in the game, and I think they'll just squeeze out a fairly close win against the Roosters.
Yeah. I think, you'd have to favour the Sharks, but just over the fullness of their season results. But man, like, it seems like the Roosters are sort of getting better, especially the way in that game against the Rabbits where, it was all Roosters, but then the Rabbits sort of got a try back and all the momentum was with them. And then they bombed a couple of, near opportunities. Yeah. And it looked like they were coming home far stronger.
Roosters are slight favourites with the bookies. Not by much. $1.90 to $1.94. So it's very tight. Yeah. Bookies.
And look, that's probably a reflection of recent form for both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the Roosters have had to run a bit of a gauntlet, had to win a number of games in a row to even get themselves in the position where they are now. And so, look, I favour the Sharks at home narrowly. But, look, I wouldn't be surprised if the Roosters won at all.
My thing is there. Look, it is easy in a Roosters jersey to get up for a game against Souths. Especially to get up for a game against Souths, it means you make the finals.
Sure.
Hmm.
Can they summon that when there's not club history involved or anything like that? Obviously, you would think, oh yeah, advancing to the next round of the fucking finals should be motivation enough. But yeah, we've seen it and time again where clubs come up against some club that has a reason for them to want to beat them. And play out of their skins.
Yeah.
I'm tipping the Sharks.
And finally, the first elimination final, 5th versus 8th, Knights versus the Raiders. This one's happening in Newcastle. The Knights side, they're bringing back in Kalen Ponga, Dan Gagai, Jackson Hastings, Fenix Crosland, Leo Thompson, Tyson Frizzell, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Kurt Mann. The Raiders side, Sebastian Chris is out, obviously. James Schiller comes into the wing, and that's it.
Sebastian Chris is on death row for murder. I've said for a couple of weeks now that Newcastle in a home final in the bottom half of the eight is not a team with the way they've been playing over the last couple of months and the momentum that they've built is not a team you want to face. And the Raiders, in stark contrast, have limped into the finals at best. And I expect the Knights to have a fucking day out at home and blow the Raiders off the park.
I would agree. Yeah. I think the Raiders can do something similar to what they did last week, except for much less length of time.
Yep.
I think the Knights will knock their resistance down pretty quickly. And I think once the points start to flow and they start to get on top in front of a crowd that's going to be fucking frenzy, like they were in that game, the week before last, who was that? Who was the nice play? Was that Sharks game? Were they playing at home?
I can't remember.
And, like, that was the home fans getting to enjoy something after years of loyal service through some incredibly bad times, including probably the worst fucking side of the NRL era in the mid-2010s there, where they got the three spoons on the trot. Right. And that there's all that kind of outpouring that's happening now as a result of this finals run. And so I think this game, they're fucking specials.
Yep.
And like I said earlier, I mean, if it can remain close enough, and if they can win it over some bullshit, just to fire up Ricky and just get a spicy final presser out of him, then great. but yeah, I think I've got no doubt the Knights will win. What are you talking about for favouritism on that one, Glenny? I mean, surely they must be the shortest favourites of the round, right?
Only about shortest of the round. Definitely short. $1.20 to $4.60 for the Raiders, which is fair. Fair indication.
In a finals situation, it's just,
I'll tell you, you know what would be fascinating to measure next year? Just tip every bookie's favourite and see how you fare at the end of the...
Yeah. Just like start with like $100 or something like that. And just...
No, like literally, like we'll do it next year. You know, I'll do the tipping because I don't do tipping.
Yep.
And Glennie, just tell me every bookie's favourite and I'll tip them.
Yep.
I like it.
We'll see where we finish at the end of the year.
Sounds good.
Do you see the other article that came out about the poor gambling industry?
I did not, no.
So,
remind me.
Some fucking flop that works for gambling or is involved in gambling. Where is he? Oh man, I've screen capped so much good shit lately. Essentially came out and said that if Penrith win the grand final, it could be the worst result for bookmakers in the history of Australian sport.
Oh, yeah, I think I did see that. I didn't read it, though. I just saw that headline.
Yeah, that's it. So, Broncos fans, if you were ever had any fucking shred of doubt left into you that you are the fucking last team that any neutral is going to back, Penrith not winning would benefit the fucking corporate gambling industry in Australia.
Yeah.
So there you
is the same sort of people as Broncos fans.
That's it. Well, look, you know, it's...
Like, you know, family ruining, you know, life ruiners. Yeah.
It's like the people who fucking storm the Capitol in America. You know, waving back through time to the people that didn't want the little black kids to go to school. And just going, we are the same people. We're the same people. So, fuck yeah.
Well, I think Glenny just fucking disassociated then. You missed last week when he was... there was about 20 minutes to go and he's announced that he was getting tired. And I just started taking screenshots of the fucking Skype screen for the next 20 minutes. He was like, he was doing Steve Runner first. He was like doing these.
Oh, man.
my eyes were burning.
I've missed screenshots. Because these days there's the old fucking copy and delete. You know? There's some fucking gold ones in there. And some interesting facts. Did you know that chronologically in history, a Tyrannosaurus was closer to an iPhone than a Stegosaurus?
Really?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Fucking, and it would
fucking
take...
cartoons have fucking lied to me.
It would take that long for the 2005 West Tigers to not be the worst fucking finals team in the history of the sport.
And that is full time for this fucking episode of this show.
5:30. It's 5:34, Glenny. It is full time. Now, I'll tell you, I've been fucking around doing a new website in the background. And on that new website is a shop. And on that shop is long-awaited, long often requested Twill footies.
Fuck yeah.
So, what I'm doing is I'm actually, if you're a patron, log into Patreon and you can get access to them basically from the time you're listening to this. And then I will flick the site over at midday. And that's when everyone else can jump in. Limited quantities. When they're gone, they're gone. Some styles more limited than others. So, if you've been one of those people over the years that has requested a twill footy, now's your chance. We have mini footies and we also have like match size footies. So they're awesome, as some people would attest as they saw her up at the Big D's C grade grand final on the weekend.
Fuck yeah.
Had a kick around with them.
Quality.
And they're quality, exactly. They are quality. And they're ready to ship. I have them now. They're ready to ship. So you make your order. And if you're a patron, just look in Patreon as well, because there's a discount code if you want to like double up or, you know, get extra ones, or if you're, you know, on a tier that gets like the mini footy and you want to get the big one as well, go for it. There's a discount code and you guys have got first crack.
Spoilers.
So,
full size footies.
Yeah. What? So yeah. Amazing. I'm giving that information to people now. And midday is I'll flick the site over. So thisweekinleague.com, and then it'll redirect to the new site where you'll have the ability to finally purchase the Twin Nation footies.
Fuck yeah. Only pump manually.
Yeah, well, you know.
Good advice. What are we talking about?
Watch the PSI. Yeah. Don't pump the mini ones over like about 8 PSI.
Don't use mechanical devices to pump.
Yeah. Don't go to the servo and pump them up. I'll give you the tip. That'd be even worse idea. Don't use a fucking compressor. So yeah, that's it. Anything else anyone wants to say before we pull the pin on this one and send Glennie to bed?
I'm done.
No, I just want to say, like, as some fucking real talk, that Toowoomba C grade fucking thing is legitimately why I fucking love this thing so much. The way everyone got around Glennie from a fucking absolute position of love. Ah, it's the most Dairy Queen thing I've ever seen.
It was great. It was very much appreciated.
Fuck yeah.
All right then. So on that note,
fuck yes.
Pull the pin, and I guess are we going to do a members ep on one of these finals games?
Oh yeah, we probably should.
Yep. We'll pick one. And, throw it out.
Cool. All
right.
See ya. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.